So time now to head back in time to 1602, just after Hamlet had actually been performed, produced, etc., and look at Troilus and Cressida, one of Shakespeare's finest, although he never apparently saw it produced or performed himself. Perhaps he's going to be looking down from on high at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, and he'll be able to speak now to Lauren Simpson, the marketing manager for Troilus of Cressida, and of course a whole heap of fantastic Shakespearean goodies that are coming out at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. Lauren, are you there?
Hi, I am, but I'm actually the marketing manager for Midsummer Night's Dream.
Oh, well, that's all right then. That's where we'll look to that as well. It's still dealing with the Bard. And as I say, obviously, you're proving so well with respect to Midsummer Night's Dream that people said, oh, she can do Troilus and Cressida as well. You know, why not? Do the whole lot, basically.
Yeah, I can do them all. Why not?
Exactly. It's all crucial stuff from this. All right, let's move into Puck. Let's move into Titania and all of those scenarios that connect within that whole field. Midsummer Night's Dream. It's obviously going to be a bit of magic in the middle of winter in LPAC.
It really is, and we're setting it in a rock music festival, which is a new concept for the piece. So it's in the grounds of a country house that Theseus and Hippolyta own, and they are sort of the aging rockers that rule over Athens. We've got the lovers, who are festival goers, all in like Wellington boots and traditional festival gear.
It looks as though it's taking that level of adaptation, much beloved of Diane Dubois, and moving it to a whole new level.
It really is. We're trying to bring Shakespeare to the masses, really, to the modern day audience. Try and just make it a bit more accessible, I suppose.
Now, when you bear in mind that you've clearly got in A Midsummer Night's Dream a collection of aristocrats, young lovers, as you mentioned, workers, fairies, it's an interesting line from that. Now, I'm thinking you look just outside of LPAC and you've got variations of all of that just amongst the citizens of Lincoln. And indeed, you know, working on from that basis. Was there ever a temptation to say, let's go outside and do it as a promenade piece?
And there's always that possibility, because we've got the LPAC space is actually being transformed for this Shakespeare season into a unique stage layout as in the round. And so the performers are in the middle and then the audience around them, basically, so you can see it from all different perspectives. So it's very transferable to be outside.
Now, Lauren, I know in terms of that, I mean, I've experienced theatre in the round, both the performance and indeed from the point of view of the audience, and it can be something where there's literally nowhere to hide for the actors. Now, I mean, the cast that we're actually here, I mean, how stressful is it for them?
Oh, it's extremely stressful, and it's extremely difficult to get right as well, because you're always going to have your back to somebody, so it's just making sure that you don't block anybody's view, and so it's very, the rehearsal process is a bit longer, but we feel it really pays off when they get to see people from a new perspective rather than just front on. It really adds a new dimension to the piece.
Genuinely interactive, one might say, up to a point.
Yeah.
It's second-year students predominantly who are actually doing this from the performing arts course at the University of Lincoln. From your own point of view, I mean, did you sort of say, yeah, I'll be marketing manager for this, that's the role I'll take, or are you doubling up? Can we expect to see your good self perform as well?
Yes, well, I am in it as well. Not a bigger role, but I play the wall, which what drama student doesn't want to play the wall? everybody that is in second year is in it in some way. But obviously if they've got a bigger production role, as in like assistant directing or marketing, then they take on a smaller acting role.
That tends to make sort of sense. Other than that, it'd be a case of several nervous breakdowns would be going through, I would have thought,
in terms
of the system from this. I mean, it's Tuesday the 27th of November we've actually got for that. So you're kind of we're in the last run-up now to that whole setup. I mean, I presume there's been a typo that actually tickets are £50, not £5. I mean, is that right?
£5.
Unbelievable.
£5. You know,
five English pounds for all of this enjoyment, theatre in the round and everything else. Dear Lord.
It really is a bargain. And you can get all five shows for just £20.
It's just £4, as our mathematical students would actually say. It's genuinely sort of routine. You mentioned all four shows. We'll come back to A Midsummer Night's Dream, because obviously that's the focus. And I kicked off this piece by talking about Troilus and Cressida from that area. What else is happening in this Shakespearean season?
Well, we've got obviously Troilus and Cressida, which is the untold story of Troy, if anybody doesn't know that one, because it's one of Shakespeare's less-known plays. We've also got Romeo and Juliet, which is the opposite end of the scale and the best-known. We've got King Lear, the story of sort of daughters overthrowing their father as the king and taking over the kingdom. And then we've got Richard II, which actually holds a lot in common with Lincoln, because he visited Lincoln, his sword is in the Guildhall. So there's a lot of Lincoln references in that one.
And if people are sort of thinking, this sounds great, I'm going to go for all four plays for £20, etc., but then they think, oh, time, these plays can go on for quite length of some quite lengthy moments, you have actually produced not necessarily abridged versions, but they're sort of perfectly formed to slot into what, about a couple of hours?
Yes, they're 90 minutes, including an interval, so
there
I think they're the sort of perfect timing for an evening out, really.
Yeah, exactly.
They can drag on a bit sometimes.
Time to pop into the engine shed afterwards and check out something else completely differently if you wish, you know, I'm sure there's all sorts of things
exactly,
there.
Yeah.
Or indeed just the LPAC bar, these are sort of facilities there. What's been the most challenging thing for yourself in terms of wearing your marketing hat, which I presume actually is great training for a future worker's ASMing or any other sort of bits and pieces, but obviously knowing that marketing is important, what's been the most challenging thing for yourself of combining that with your work as the wall?
Well, it's been a good balance, really, because the mechanicals, as a lot of people may know, are sort of a separate part of Midsummer Night's Dream. So our rehearsals have been reasonably separate to everybody else's. So it's been quite easy to manage. So then in my own time, I've just been sort of sending out press releases and ringing around a lot of schools. We've got a lot of school interest. So it's been relatively okay so far, but we've got the stressful point of leading up to the show coming up, so we'll see how that goes.
It'll happen. It's important that you've got the media interviews. You've done that. You know, your Midweek Drive Morning Edition. This is also going out. People are wondering, hang on, Midweek Drive Morning Edition, don't you do that from the Lincoln studio? Yes, we do. But this phone interview is taking place from one of our northeastern studios in Teesside, which we're also sending out. So it'll bounce back to Lincoln as well. It's very confusing,
yeah.
Lauren, but it makes perfect sense to me. You know, that's what Chris Taylor sort of works his magic as well on that basis. Let's just go through the sort of dates as well from this point of view. Does it kick off with Troilus and Cressida on Monday, the 26th of November?
That's correct, yeah.
And then obviously Midsummer Night's Dream the day after?
Yep.
Yeah, and then we're talking about Romeo and Juliet and King Lear following shortly thereupon.
Yes, well we've got the Wednesday off, yep. And then King Lear is on the Thursday, Richard II on the Friday, and Romeo and Juliet on the Saturday night.
There you go, you see, exactly. I don't know why you've got Wednesday off. Could you not have actually done all five plays on that particular day? You know, it's just to go through the whole thing. No, it's just a thought, you know.
Yeah.
Lauren, it's been fabulous just getting a little flavour of what is going to be an absolutely unmissable performance. I certainly will get some of our team to hopefully go along. Are tickets still available? I was saying that. You know, are they still available at this sort of time?
They are, yes, luckily. Midsummer Night's Dream and Romeo and Juliet have sold the best so far, but we expected that because they are the best known.
Yep.
But no, there's still tickets available for all five shows.
Okay.
So head on to the box office at the LPAC or the Engine Shed.
Very much so. And you can always check out the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre online by going to lpac.co.uk. That's usual three W's and then lpac.co.uk. Lauren, two final questions for your good self. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with us here for the Midweek Drive on Siren FM?
I have. It's been brilliant. Thank you for having me on.
It's all right. So the next crucial question is, given that you really just have to get over the railway bridge and into our studios, can we look forward to actually seeing you in person in the studio in the very near future as a sort of post sort of thing to the play, but maybe just ahead of Christmas?
Yes, of course. And we're also on air on the 24th at 10 o'clock at night. We've got all the Shakespeare seasons on then, beyond Siren.
You know, I'm just going to sort of say that's. I'm pleased you mentioned that, you see, because I figured if I'd said something, it might have been a case of you would have had to say, no, we go with that one first and that one first, etc. So that comes through from that. Actually, just tell the listener a bit more about that, because these are the sort of slight audio pieces that have been produced by you guys and will be aired, obviously, on 107.3 FM.
Yes, that's right. We've been given a 10 o'clock slot for an hour on the 24th of November, so it's just before our week of shows, and there's sort of a bit about the show, a bit about the concept, and a little snippet of a scene from the performance. So
it's basically an hour of sheer delight. And are we talking 10 a.m. here or 10 p.m.?
10 p.m.
Oh, the evening slot. Very good. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's all great stuff for that. Lauren, again, it's been fantastic. So, as we said, can we look forward to seeing you in person when we can actually turn around in December and say, well, that was a sensational success, and on to the next one?
Definitely, we'll be in.
There you are, Lauren Simpson. We'll be joining us live in the studio here on Siren 107.3 FM and, of course, our sister service up north as well.